This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham, sitting again for Cynthia Canty. Yesterday, we talked to a policy expert, a teacher educator, and a high school principal about how to hold teachers accountable and get them better prepared for the classroom. Today, we continue that conversation as we bring you an interview Cynthia Canty did with a nationally recognized teacher in the state.
As the Center for Michigan released its big report on public education in Michigan last month, the one called The Public's Agenda for Public Education, one of the major themes that emerged for discussion was how to evaluate teachers and how to better prepare teachers to do their jobs. So we wanted to bring a teacher into this discussion. Joining us now is Rob Stevenson. He taught elementary school for 18 years in Okemos. He's currently an administrator at Donnelly Elementary School in East Lansing. And by the way, Rob Stevenson was also one of the top five finalists for National Teacher of the Year in 2010. Thanks for joining us today, Rob.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Cindy.
Well, that report from the Center for Michigan took in the thoughts and opinions of people all over the state, and 4 out of 5 people say they really want Michigan's teachers to be better prepared for the classroom. So, in your view, what do you think, Rob, is missing when it comes to preparing teachers to stand in front of that classroom?
That's a great question. You know, part of it is the structure of how education is set up. One of the things I find most frustrating is the lack of collaboration that is really embedded within the profession. And, you know, if you look at studies and you look at effect sizes of what has profound impact on student achievement, it often comes down to teacher collaboration. And yet the structure really isn't set up to do that. Most of the time teachers work very independently within a silo structure within their own classroom. Rarely do they get an opportunity to observe one another, to collaborate. So when we start thinking about collaboration, that's a piece that's going to be missing as far as improving instruction. Other things that come to mind, of course, is going to be, you know, I was mentioning to someone the other day, I've supervised and mentored novice teachers coming out of 5 different Michigan prep institutions for teacher education. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I find fascinating is how often they lack the ability just to manage classrooms. Classroom management is an art. There's no doubt about it. You can ask any parent who has more than 2 kids.
Sure enough.
Just trying to manage behavior.
No, I get you because I had 1 week that lasted a year, 10 years ago when I taught vacation Bible school to the little ones going from kindergarten to first grade and walked out of that awful week for me with a huge, huge appreciation. What you said, an art.
It
how
is.
To manage all those little people.
Exactly. And what often happens is most teacher prep institutions, they do not have dedicated classes specifically for classroom management. And the intent is, their thinking is, well, they'll pick that up in their internship. But that is an erroneous assumption, because let's assume for a moment that you end up with a novice teacher getting in with a veteran teacher whose strong suit is not classroom management.
Mm.
Not only have we missed it in the teacher prep side, but they're not going to get the practical experience within the classroom. So that is another key ingredient that's missing. So again, I'll go back to collaboration, going back to classroom management. And there's another piece to this, though, because it starts shifting into the accountability piece. And I was alluding to the fact that we have this silo mentality, mm-hmm. and teachers, they are accountable for their students, and I don't think any teacher is fearful of accountability. I really don't. The problem is when it becomes an accountability for just those students in front of you as opposed to accountability to all the students within an institution of learning. And I like to view this as sort of a shared accountability so that goals, individual professional goals, are all immersed in the work of your colleagues. So not only am I interested in how my students are doing, but how the students are doing in the classroom next door. If we can be investing in each other's students, there's a greater motivation to improve the quality of teaching that takes place around us, not just within our own room.
Well, are you saying then, Rob, you'd be in favor of let's take a look at how the entire school is doing? What about people who say, but doesn't that let maybe a substandard teacher hide a little bit or a lot behind data?
Actually, it doesn't, because here's where the pressure from colleagues weighs in, because if you have a colleague that is bringing you down, you're invested to try to get them so support that they need. And that's the other piece when we talk about accountability. I like to think in terms of our accountability piece as, okay, let's have shared goals, not just individual teacher goals from year to year, but let's have grade level goals or department goals in which we're trying to raise the standard of achievement, not just within a single room, but in multiple rooms. So there's this piece of it too. And let's be honest, when we start thinking about teacher prep and effective instruction, the most profound impact we have on student learning is the relationships that teachers foster with kids. And that relationship piece, it's not appreciated as much as it should be, that connection that we have with students and building a positive climate for learning.
And that's actually something that would be very hard to quantify and to measure.
It is, you know, but there are research studies that have been done, many of them, in fact, where you start looking at schools which are highly impoverished, dealing with many students of minority, and yet having these massive achievement gaps, and yet they're doing successful things to engage students and to turn their schools around. Models that are there that we can emulate from, and yet I don't think that actually takes place within teacher prep institutions either, as far as giving that research perspective and what can take place. You know, it's funny, I was interested in a study I read recently about the underserving of many minority students, and there was one research study that was talking about 4 out of 5 African-American children who are not given the opportunity to participate in enrichment or AP courses, even though they're qualified to do it. And it may be that the resources aren't there, or it may be because of unintended bias that happens to exist.
Yeah.
But these are all parts of the reality that we deal with in education that are something that we just need to confront, this idea of being culturally responsive and sensitive and using pedagogy that is going to differentiate for every single learner with high expectations for every single student. But then, you know, the other piece of this, too, that many of these districts have experienced is it's really effective use of data. And, you know, we're in a state or a time of an abundance of data, and you've probably heard the expression, you know, data rich and information poor, the drip syndrome.
Yes.
You know, schools don't escape that either. We're surrounded and immersed in data, and yet if we don't use the information effectively, it's hard to really change our practice. So when I start thinking about the data that's out there and available to us, yes, we've got the summative data, and, you know, it's timely with the release of the MEAP data right now with our state summative assessments. But if we really want to be responsive to our learners, we have to be doing benchmark assessments throughout the year. We've got to be doing universal screening assessments. We've got to be doing regular progress monitoring and formative assessments. And so teachers can be responsive to that data and make wise decisions. Is this taking place in teacher prep institutions? I don't think so. The problem is at higher level, or higher ed, I should say, institutions, they're somewhat disconnected from current practice. And it's fine to be giving theory and what could be or what may have been in the past if some of these professors had been in the classroom. It's quite another to be thinking about the practical aspects of what's taking place in today's classroom.
Very much like training a physician, isn't it?
You know, I'm glad you gave that analogy, because I was talking about the collaboration piece previously.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started thinking about the physician model and, you know, the rounds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got your physicians working together and collaborating to make good decisions. And we need to do the same thing in education. When you pool the collective expertise of many resources and personnel, you end up making a better decision in the long run.
It strikes me that when you talked about that silo effect, especially if you're a new teacher, so you're coming into that classroom and you have not yet developed that art of managing that classroom, you're not able to really plug in and get the wise advice or the mentoring of a more experienced teacher. You're really kind of out there all on your own.
Yeah, and you raise a good point with mentoring as well. You know, districts are required to provide mentoring, and yet I remember when I was first hired, I didn't even know I had a mentor until my third year.
Oh, boy.
I didn't know. And this person never reached out to me, and I never took advantage of it because I didn't even know. You know, you're so young, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got into this setting, and it's a missed opportunity. And with the demands that are placed on educators and the stress that accompany the position, it's really no wonder that the retention of educators is a tough, tough situation. I believe that something like 50% leave within the first 5 years. That's a very alarming rate, particularly when we're trying to attract the best and brightest to get into our classrooms to inspire our young children.
I'm curious, Rob, your thoughts. If you could talk to the parents of Michigan, the people listening now,
sure,
the ones who, in the conversations with the Center for Michigan, said, you know, 4 out of 5 want teachers to be better prepared,
right,
2/3 want to see evaluation of teachers. What
right
would you say to them? What don't they understand about what it is to be a teacher standing at the head of that classroom day in, day out?
First of all, I like the African proverb that it takes a village to raise a child, and I don't believe we can ever make the assumption that we can send kids off to school and fix them in isolation. It can't happen in isolation. It is a partnership, and I believe that it's a partnership between the home and the school, as well as the community at large, as well as businesses, as well as our legislature and policymakers. Everyone has to be invested in the same thing and commit. I've often had individuals who've come into my classroom, because I invite them in. It's easy to say, you know, to be critical when you've never walked in those shoes. And I remember inviting State Board of Education members into my classroom, and they came. And I remember inviting different legislators into my classroom, and they came. And honestly, being present within the instruction or in the environment, it changes perceptions a little bit. I would encourage families to get in touch with their schools to see how they can help, mm-hmm, rather than be critical. I also find it fascinating when you look at individual surveys that have been done. People will often be critical of schools in general, and then often when they're asked about their own school, their own home school, or their own child's teacher, it's usually very positive, which I always find fascinating.
Yeah.
Because they support it at the local level, but somehow when we start escalating to the big picture, the vantage changes, the perception change, the cynicism starts to sneak in. I find that a little bit sad. And you know, much of this goes back to 1983 report when came out of Washington, D.C., and everyone was concerned about the state of education. And it's certainly a process of evolution as far as improvement, but to get there, it requires the collaborative efforts not only of educators, but of the community and society at large.
Rob Stevenson, thanks so much for sharing your insights with us today on Stateside.
It's my pleasure, Cindy. Thank you very much.
Rob Stevenson taught elementary school for 18 years in Okemos. He's currently an administrator at Donnelly Elementary in East Lansing and was also one of the top 5 finalists for National Teacher of the Year in 2010.